Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Chulin Daf Mem. We begin at the Mishnah, which is Lama Tes on the base, two lines from the bottom. Says the Mishnah, Hashoychet L'shem Harim. If one takes an ordinary animal and performs a Shechita for the sake of a mountain, which basically means he's considering the mountain as his idol, as Avodah Zarah, and he's worshipping that mountain through this Shechita. So he's offering this animal as an offering, as a takrevis to Avodah Zarah. Now typically, takrevis Avodah Zarah becomes very forbidden. It becomes Asur Bahana'a. So let's see what happens in this case. Hashoychet L'shem Harim, L'shem Gvaris, to serve the hills, L'shem Yamim, the seas, L'shem Naharis, the rivers. Rashi says on the bottom, Sha'asa Hayam Avodah Zarah, we consider the Yam to be Avodah Zarah. And this is an offering to that Avodah Zarah. L'shem Naharis, L'shem Idbaris, deserts. Shechitasei Psula. It's considered a failed Shechita. One cannot consume the basar of this behemoth. Now, instead of the Mishnah saying that it's actually asur bahana, as per the status of an Avodah Zarah offering, it doesn't say that. It merely says pesula. It's a failed shechita. And the Gemara will explain that's because it's only asur midrabbanan, because it's similar to a takrevis. It's not genuinely a takrevis Avodah Zarah. Why? We'll see in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah, we turn to the next page. Shnaim Oichsin Besaken. So you have two people clutching the knife, one on either side, and doing the Shechita together, Besheichten. So we have Reuven and Shimon. Now Echad, Reuven had a mind for Avodah Zarah purposes, L'shem Echad and Kaleidl, for one of these aforementioned, intentions. V'Echad L'shem Davar Kasher. Shimon had nothing of this sort in mind, simply to make a proper shechita. So it's one on one. What happens? Shechita is a psula. Shechita is no good because one of the other parties had diverted. Now the Mishnah said psula. Ask the Gemara psula in. So it's only psula. You can't eat it. It should be even worse than that. It should attain a status of takrovis Avodah Zarah, which is Zibche Mesim, it's like a mace, it's Asr Bahana. As you learn back in Masechet Avodah Zarah, right? Psul in, so it's only possible, Zibche Mesim Lay, but not further than that. It's not Asr Bahana. Veramini, we have a kasha from a braisa, which seems to speak about this identical scenario, and renders the material as takroibis, considers it an offering, makes it Asr Bahana, Vramini, Ashech, L'shem Harim, Yaramain mountains, L'shem Gvois hills, L'shem Nahariz rivers, L'shem Midbariz deserts, L'shem Cham, Ulevana, sun, the moon, L'shem Kaychav, Mazolais, stars, constellations, L'shem Michoel, Sahar, Sahar, Gadol, Yaramain the great Malach Michoel, L'shem Shol Shokot, Yaramain this small snail, to serve it as an Avodah Zarah. In all these, Hare'ilu, they're not merely forbidden for consumption, they're asur bahano, you can't benefit from them. Zivchei meisim. And now Mishnah, we seem to learn that it's only apostle, and no more than that. Amar Abaye. Depends exactly what he had in mind. You see, Rashi explains that a landmark, a mountain, something which is mechubar lekarka, part of the ground, part of the landscape, that cannot be considered Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah infers from the pasuk where it says, "Eloyehem aleharim," their gods are sitting on, they're perched on the mountains, and we learn that the mountain itself remains unaffected. "Eloyehem aleharim," their mountain itself cannot turn into their idol. So technically, the mountain remains unaffected, and likewise, there's no offering to the mountain. There's no takrevis. Because the mountain is a non-idol. So you can't serve to a non-idol, right? And that's the case in our Mishnah. He had in mind the actual mountain itself. So the Shechita is not considered takrevis, an act of service to that mountain. Amar Abaye, Lekasha, the answer is like this. Ha'da Amar Lahar. Now Mishnah, he referred to the actual mountain. which does not turn into avodah zarah. So there's no offering. There's no takrevis. There's no isser min ha-Torah. Rather, it's only midrabbanan. Rabbanan forbade consumption of this animal because it's very similar to an avodah zarah offering. That's why the Mishnah specifies psula. Don't eat it. But it's not worse than that. It's not actual takrevis avodah zarah. Ha, the amar l'gada dahar, as opposed to the Braisa, where he referred to the god of the malach, Rashi says, the spiritual force behind the mountain. Everything in this world has malachim, has spiritual forces guiding it, and every grass has a malach, right, telling it to grow. So it all depends. The actual mountain, it's not an issue. But the malach, which is a living force standing sort of behind the mountain, that's an issue. That is true avodah zarah. And in turn, this animal becomes takrevis. It's considered an offering to that spiritual force, to that avodah zarah. Hence, it becomes asur b'hanah, deikonami, diktani. If we take a look at the wording of that braisa, we'll see. And in fact, it indicates as such. Because the braisa, in listing all those examples, mountains, hills, rivers, cited them together with diktani dumya, compared to, what's another example on that list? The Michal Saragadol, the great malach, who's a living being, so to speak, right? Spiritual force. Shmaminos, clearly, the braisa is speaking about that type of phenomenon. Not the actual mountain, the actual valley, rather the spiritual forces behind them. And that becomes avodah zarah. Now, Rashi does point out that although we know that at a Baal Chai, a living being, let's take, for example, a behemoth. One worships a behemoth of avodah zarah. The behemoth itself, the item, the object itself, will not be affected. Will not become avodah zarah. Won't become asur. In fact, Rashi points out that you see from the fact, what's the proof to this? Because we see from the fact that the Torah had to go out of its way and tell you a worshipped animal is unfit for carbon use. That tells us that it's a very specific disqualification, only for carbonus. So if one worships an animal, that's called ne'evad. If one sets aside an animal, designates it for a dessert, it's called muktze. It only taints it with respect to bringing it as a carbon, which has higher standards, and once it becomes tainted, it's unfit. But for personal use, it doesn't really attain status of avodah zarah. Nevertheless, Rashi says, we still find, by Mitzrayim, hey nizbach as to avos Mitzrayim, we find that they consider the animals, the sheep, as gods. So to a certain extent, it does relate to the animal. In which case that, if a person serves and does takrevis, that takrevis becomes takrevis of a desire and it's asur b'hanah. Even though the animal itself doesn't really turn into asur. Interesting sort of middle ground. So far we have two categories. An actual mountain, it's unaffected, it's not a desire. And if one serves it with material, it's not takrevis of a desire. Versus a living being, like a malach, like a ba'behemah. Although the object, the cheftza, like they say in yeshiva, the cheftza, the object will not become affected, will not change status, but the activity done with it, for it, towards it, to serve it, is considered bona fide avodah zarah activity, and the takrevis is considered an offering to avodah zarah, in which case, avodah shechita for the malach, the animal becomes asur b'hanah. Third category is a very simple category, an object, a plain item. Table, a chair, statue, something movable, something which is mobile, that can become true avodah zarah. In all respects, the cheftza, the item, the object becomes asur, and the offering to it, the person and what he does towards the avodah zarah, in honor of the avodah zarah, is considered avodah zarah material, avodah zarah activity. And that crevice becomes asur b'hanah. Okay, so we have three categories. Simple is an item, an object. It's avodah zarah in all respects. the item becomes Avodah Zarah, Takrovis Avodah Zarah. We have a Baal Chai, which is somewhere in the middle. Baal Chai doesn't become Asur Lehadiyah for an ordinary person, but the Takrovis is Takrovis Avodah Zarah versus a mountain, a hill, a river. It's a non-entity. It's not Avodah Zarah, there's no Takrovis, as per our Mishnah. Now, when we speak about a Baal Chai remaining unaffected, so if one bows to a Baal Chai stays mutter, provided there was no modification of the Baal Chai. But if he modified it, physically modified it, he did an actual shechita on the Baal Chai for the sake of Avodah Zarah service, we'll see in a minute, that does transform it into Avodah Zarah material, because he changed it. There's human intervention. It's not just a natural animal as it comes. He modified it for the sake of Avodah Zarah. That will convert this into a forbidden material. And not only that, not only if it's your animal, even if it's your neighbor's animal, typically one cannot, a non-owner can't affect an item, provided it was just remote. But if it was an actual hands-on, he actually modified it, he did shechita on his neighbor's animal, for the desire becomes asur. That's what's coming up now. Amar Rav Huna, so his neighbor's animal was Ravutza, was sitting crouched in front of a statue, Avodah Zarah. Comes along the neighbor, the non-owner, with his big knife. As soon as he cuts through even one simon, one of the two simonim, a partial shechita, in this context, as an act of service to Avodah Zarah, forbids the animal. So there's two chidushim here. First of all, that even a Baal Chai can become asur because of this ma'aseh, and even your neighbor's animal. Sabala, Rav Huna is in line. It's based on Ula. Ki ha damar Ula, Amar v'yechanan. Ava b'sha amra m'shtach al behemes chaver lo asur. Even though we all know that if you bow to your neighbor's cow, turn into an idol, unaffected, lo asur. Because a non-owner can't have any effect, but asur ba masa asur. If they're masa, actually physically modified, it's asur. Eisur Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Says Rav Nachman, I have a kasha on you. You're telling me that as soon as he starts cutting, even though he didn't really complete the shechita, he just initiated the act of shechita for Avodah Zarah, it is already considered an act of service, takrevis, Avodah Zarah, and it makes the whole animal asur. Again, before even gets seriously underway, or certainly before he even completes the shechit, it already becomes Avodah Zarah material. So the question is, how do you explain the next price? Eisvei Rav Nachman Rav Hashoichet chatas b'shabas b'chutz. He committed a triple violation. It was Shabbos. Okay, he took a chatas. Later the Gemara will tell us it's actually a chatas bird. Okay. He did a shechita outside the Middash, which is strike two. That's called the Shechut Eichot. He took a carpet, did it outside. Number three, he was serving Avodah Zarah. He committed three violations: Avodah Zarah, Shechut Eichot, and a Melacha on Shabbos. Doing a shechita on Shabbos is one of the 39 Melachas. Tilas Neshama, right? Rule of life. So let's say it was done inadvertently, not realizing that it was. He's liable to three transgressions, three karbanos chatas, three kaparos he needs. Hashoichet chatas b'shabbos, b'chutz lavayis gecham chayev sholish chatos. Now the question is, why? You see, once he starts cutting for Avodah Zarah, the first split second, it's already done. It's already considered takrevitz. It's an offering for Avodah Zarah. Now this animal, this bird, becomes totally forbidden. Worthless. It can no longer potentially be considered a carbon. And even worse than that, let's say we ignore that part. But he's not doing anything. He's not doing shechut eichutz. He's not shechting. He's cutting a piece of dirt. The bird now turned into a piece of dirt. It's asur b'hanah. It's a worthless entity. So why would it be chayev? For transgressing the isur of shechut echutz, of shechting a carbon outside the mikdash. He never got to that point. As soon as he started cutting, probably the whole thing becomes forbidden. And what happens afterwards is no longer considered an act of shechita. In which case, he can't be transgressing shechut echutz. Be honest, if you're going to tell me, kimish shachab asimen echad astra, as soon as he cuts through one simen, even the first drop, simen echad is just an example, Rashi said, as soon as he starts cutting, it is already considered an act of service to Avodah Zarah. In which case, astra. He has now forbade the bird, becomes astra material. And therefore, how can you get to second base? You shouldn't be liable for shechting a carbon outside. Why? We turn to base. Mechatech ba'afarhu. He's cutting dirt. Wow, what does that mean? So Rashi on top says like this, in the top line. Mechatech ba'afarhu. The kibbutz the nasa mishon avodah zarah, once it becomes usher as an avodah zarah material, pakash shem kachem, it's no longer considered kachem. It's not considered avodah zarah material. It's like dirt, as far as we're concerned. It's also about not. And even if he continues cutting to conclude the shechita, he's not shechting a carbon. It's been relabeled as avodah zarah material. And it's also about not. As far as I'm concerned, it's a piece of dirt. I'm not doing shechita to be chayiv as per shechut echutz. Mechater ba'afel. I'm not papa. Here's your answer. We've got to find a way. We've got to figure a circumstance where all three isurim, all three transgressions, converge at the very same moment. They arrive simultaneously. How's that? Let's realize the Brisa specifically referred to a chatas. You know why? What's unique about the chatas family? There's something called a chatas oif in that family, a bird chatas. How far do you have to cut by the chatas oif? We know this from Chulin, we know this from Zvachim. Just one simen, one of the tubes. Okay. So, as soon as it cuts one tube, he violated all three Yisurim at the same time. Avodah Zarah, which comes together with Shechut Echutz. It's not a progressive, sequential arrangement, which triggered that question a minute ago. Once he gets Avodah Zarah, it's Asur, he can't progress. No, it's happening together at the same time. That first cut, that first Siman, triggers all three violations. It activates all three Yisurim simultaneously. The kula, all three violations, avodah zarah, shechut echutz, melachan shabbos, bahadi adadi kaasi, they all arrive at the same moment. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Avodah zarah is still going to be first and preempt the other ones preempt shechut echutz because Rav Huna specifically mentioned Ula mentioned asuba masa. Rav Huna was based on Ula, who used the word asuba masa. Doing some sort of modification, even a slight modification, even the initial cut, before you get to one simen. Even one simen is a lot. Just before that, start cutting. It's already considered an act, Avodah Zarah, which forbids the animal, which makes it non-kachim material, in which case you can't violate Isur Kachim Mechutz. So back to the question. Michti, let's analyze. Rav Huna Kaman, Amar L'Shmata, Rav Huna's lesson was based on whom? It was in line with Ula, Kula, but Ula Masa called Dukamar. If you take a look at Ula's wording, he just says a Masa, which indicates even a minor Masa, even a small modification. As soon as he starts cutting, it's already Avodah Zarah, which preempts Shechut Echutz from arriving. Ella, must be Ba'imer. And this fellow is declaring Begmar Zavichu Oivda. He starts cutting the carbon. He says, you know, my intention is to worship the Avodah Zarah only at the end, at the conclusion. Oh, if that's the case, it is not considered Avodah Zarah activity until the very end. And at that moment, all Yisurim arrive together. If that's the case, that he makes the stipulation, this could apply to an animal as well, which needs both simanim cut. End of the day, it only happens at the very end, simultaneously. So why are we specifying chatas, which would indicate it's a chatas ha'oif, where the shechita is accomplished by one siman, even without that? If that's the case, that he's specifically articulating his intention to only serve at the end of the full shechita, my iri chatas, why specify chatas? Lishmin and zebach. The same halacha could apply to a regular animal carbon. El amar marzutra, mishmeder apap. Let me explain to you why, in fact, he's liable to all three violations. We're speaking about a chatas bird. And we're not speaking where he declared that his intention is to wait till the end. No. But I can still come up with a scenario where all three transgressions converge at this very same instant in a simultaneous fashion, which explains why he's chayiv three chatas. El amar marzut mishveder rapapa hocha b'maiskin. Listen to what we're talking about. Kigoyin shohaya chatzi konev pogam. It was a bird, chatas bird, half of its konev, its trachea, had already been previously split. Only 50%, which is still safe. It's not yet a trefa until it's past that point. So all he needs to do is push his knife in and push past the 50% mark. Just a drop. And that little drop constitutes an act of shechita with respect to Avodah Zarah, Shabbos, and Shechut Echutz. So they all converge at the same moment. That's your answer. We just added a little bit to that slit. Ugamre concluded the shechita by adding just one more percent. The kulu, in which case all three transgressions, Bahadi Adodi Ka'asyan, arrive at the very same time, and that's why the Brisa says it's Chayit Richatois. Okay, so in conclusion, Ula, in line with Rav Huna, in line with Ula, teaches us that even a non owner can have a very detrimental effect, can impact a Baal Chai by way of a Maaser, and even a slight Maaser can accomplish that and turn into Avodah Zarah. And we found a situation where he can actually be chayv three for the same little slit. Amar Papa. Comes Rav Papa and elaborates and clarifies on two points. Ilav de Amar Rav Huna, if not for Rav Huna saying Simon Echad, Lav Echatas, Simon Echad. You know, Rav Huna specified that even just a little bit of a cut, one Simon, just a little bit, already considers it Takrevis Avodah Zarah. Without that statement, I would have thought that perhaps in order to for it to be considered an act of a desire which modifies the Baal Chai, etc., you need a more of an extensive mass, a full shechita. In which case the whole kasha from the Braisa wouldn't have started. The kasha was based on Ula's being very specific and considering even a small, minor modification. In the beginning of the shechita is already considered transformative. Otherwise, I would say perhaps a more extensive, full shechita. Ilav the Amar Rav Huna Siman Echad, if not for Rav Huna specifying even a small modification is transformative, well, you have your chatas yufta. We wouldn't be asking from the Braisa on the chatas. Because my masa, when Ula says a masa makes a change, masa rabba, perhaps a complete, extensive masa, full shechita. And that would have addressed why he's chayiv three chatois, because until he finishes the shechita, there's no real transformation. It's just at the very end, when he completes the full act, then we have the chatas for Avodah Zarah, we have the chatas for Shabbos, chatas for, kachim b'chutz. But ultimately, Rav Huna did allow even a small ma'asa to be transformative, and that triggered the whole question, because once he starts cutting, it's up with the Zorah, it becomes Afar, and then, yeah. Next, V'am Rav Papa, Ilav D'am Rav Huna Be'emes Chaberoi. You know, there would be room, if not for Rav Huna, there would be room to draw a line between your own animal and your friend's animal. Perhaps by the actual owner on his animal, even a small act is transformative, but regarding a stranger's animal, you have to really do an extensive act to transform it. So, Rav Huna actually says that even Be'emes Chaverei runs the same rules. Even a small mass is transformative, and again, that triggered the whole point, because the whole kasha from the Braisa, because you know the chatas there is not really yours, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, the Kehanim. So how you know, and still you know Rav Huna says that even a minute ma'isa, like a beginning of the cut, is already transformative. So the question was, okay, if you start a shechita, then it becomes offer, and that triggered the whole question. But if not so, I would have perhaps drawn a line between your own and your friends, between the owner and non-owner. By the owner, even a small ma'asa has an effect. By the non-owner, you need a more extensive ma'asa to have an effect. In which case, that would have solved the issue with the chatas. It's not mine. So unless you do a full shechita, it's not a avodah zara. It only happens at the end of the shechita, in which case all three surim arrive at the same time. So that would have solved the issue. But again, Rav Huna clearly stated otherwise. So that triggered the whole question, right? This is a little bit theoretical, right? If not for Rav Huna stating that even a minor masa can adversely affect, even by non-owner, then there would not have been a question from the Braisa on the Chatas. My time and why? Because then I could just say, Didei Motzi Asar, a minor act only forbids by a real owner, your own animal. The Chavrei Le Motzi Asar, but by your friend's animal, it wouldn't have any effect unless it's an extensive Maisa until you finish the Shechita. Says about Pshita, well, yeah, so what's Rav Huna's point here? Of course, if things will be different, if in fact a small masa cannot impact by a non-owner, then the brisa would have been fine. Wouldn't have a kasha from the chatas. This is just plain tune, plain logic. So he says like this. Pshita ma'ud atema. Perhaps I would say like this. Rav Papa's main point here is to teach us that really a chatas. You would think your own chatas is you're the owner, you're the boss. No. Because Rav Papin tells us, although you purchased it, you bring it to Beis HaMikdash, but in terms of strict ownership, who's the owner? It's not you. It belongs to the to Hashem, to the Kehanim. And you consider it technically like a non-owner. That's his main point. Pshita, Ma'od Atem, perhaps I would think, even the Kanali, since he bought it, it's his, the kapara, he bought it for kapara. Kidi the dami, we treat it like it's really his possession. Kamash from the point is no. He's really treated like a non-owner. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because Rav Huna told us even by the non-owner, the initiation of the shechita already is transformative, and that triggered the whole kasha. So why by the chatas does it seem otherwise? Okay, at the end of the day, Rav Huna teaches us, although ordinarily one bows to a Baal Chai, an animal, there's no effect, only regarding bringing it as a carbon, right? But regarding personal use, it's remains as is. However, if he does a Ma'asa, he modifies it physically, that will have a transformative effect on the behemoth, becomes Takrevus of the Zora, and that applies even by a non-owner. However, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak Amri, they disagree. Ein adam oiser davashen shaloi. A non-owner cannot affect an item. Maisvi comes a kasha from that brisa. We're speaking about a fellow who's shechting a chatas on Shabbos outside the Mikdash. He transgressed three violations. He brings three atonements, three kabbarnas chatas, right? Hashoychet chatas b'shabbos b'chutz la'boides k'chom chayev shalosh chatoyes. V'kminan, we explained why does the Braisa refer to chatas? Because what's unique about chatas? Chatas has a bird chatas in its family, right? V'kminan b'chatas o'if. And that explains how you get the three yisurim simultaneously, because it was half split, right? V'b'chatzi kana pogum, half the kana was already split, and all he did was slide his knife in there and slit just a little bit. And that triggered all three violations. Time of the chatas oif, who? So we infer from the Braisa that this system only works because it's a chatas oif. The kula bahadi hadodikas, in which case all three isurim converge simultaneously, and that's why it's chayv. But otherwise, we turn to the next page. Avach zavach loy. But if it wasn't a bird, it was an animal carbon, where this half kind of split system won't work on you. Right? Only by a bird can you say that, because he only needs one simen cut, and half the simen cut is still okay, still considered healthy. All you need is just drop more. By an animal, you need two simenim cut. And once you have one simen split, the whole thing is a treva, right? The system won't work. Al zevach loy. And the question is why? Because if he starts doing a proper shechita on the animal, the initial cut makes it up by the zara. And that preempts the isur of shechut echutz from arriving, because now it's asur bahanot, it's avodah zarah material. Right? So that explains the brayso as we explained earlier. Now, according to these opinions, the ein adam, so that only works based on the idea that a person can technically forbid someone else's matter. Even a non-owner can affect, such as the chatas oif, which we assume is not your personal possession, right? However, if you disagree entirely with this concept, a non-owner is ineffective. So what's the issue? He's a non-owner. It's not his carbon, it's not his possession, it's a chatas. So in all situations, his cutting will not forbid the material and will not preempt the isur of shechut echutz from arriving. If you can tell me that a person cannot affect somebody else's property, so then why specify chatos and the bird and half split? Even a regular carbon, a regular animal would have the same triple isur. Right? If he starts cutting a behemoth, it's not his possession. He can't impact it. He can't make it usher. So he'll get all three yisurim. And he'll ask, hold it. If he's not going to make it usher, why is he getting isur with the zara? So Rashi asks this question. Rashi says, I have to split the person from the object. The object will not assume the status of a desire material. It stays, it remains carbon material. He can't make it also. He can't transform it. He can't relabel it. He can't reclassify it to a desire material. That's true. But the person, the gavra, and the person, after all, did worship. So he's chayif. Very interesting analysis there. The item maintains its kachim status, but the person, through shechita of this carbon, as an act of avodah zarah service, has violated isra of avodah zarah, he gets the punishment, and b'shegi gets a chatos. Okay, in any case, that's the question. I feel the answer is like this. Kiven dekani lelekapara. Since the owner designated this animal for his own atonement, it's considered like it's his. So they disagree with the earlier notion that a chatas is not really personally owned. It is considered somewhat personally owned. He is technically the owner. He's the owner of the kapara, of this animal for the sake of kapara. Kididedami, we treat it like it's his. To a certain extent, he's the owner. Rashi explains, this really applies to any, more or less any carbon. Chatas, asham, oilam, all these things have atonement capacities. And then he says, Shlomim and Kachim Kalma really is. So it's true, you can't, a non-owner can't have any effect, but he's the owner. So these Amoraim, you know, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak, they took issue with that nuance. Rav Huna considered carbon as not yours. They considered, yeah, yours. Yes, a non-owner can affect something, but he is considered an owner. So back to square one. Took a chatas, which technically he's the owner of, did the shechita outside, on Shabbos, chay three times. Why? Once he starts cutting, there's avodah zarah. Avodah zarah makes it asur. And once it's Aser, it's no longer Kachim. The answer is, we have only one way to explain this. It's a Chatos bird, half-split trachea. He slides his knife and pushes it over the top, just a drop, and that triggers that triple activation of all three Yisroel, which arrive simultaneously. Avodah Zarah, Shechut Chutz, and Shabbos. Okay, so in conclusion, we have the Mishnah, and we have the Brayos and the Gemara, which seem to contradict it. Here we say that the Shechita for the mountains, for the hills, for the is Mutar min HaTorah, and the Brayos says it's Asur HaTakrevis. The answer is, if you have in mind the actual mountain, etc., unaffected. If you have in mind the Malachim and the spirits behind it, then it's considered Takrevis Avodah Zarah, and it's Asur even min HaTorah. Otherwise, only Asur min Rabbanon, because it could be confused with. We have Machlekes Rav Huna with the other Amigayim regarding a non-owner affecting Davar Sheina Shaloi, for instance, Shechting a Behema belongs to your neighbor for Avodah Zarah purposes. According to Rav Huna, it's Aser because that Maisa transforms it into Avodah Zarah material, whereas according to the other Shitais, Ein Adam Oiser Davar Sheina Shaloi. All the best to you and that's Lacharab.